Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God which is set before us this morning is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. The Bible often speaks in paradoxes. That is, two statements which are contradictory to each other, at least to our way of thinking, which yet together express an important truth. In this text from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, there are two of those paradoxes. The first one is this: our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. Now, what does St. Paul mean that we are being renewed and perishing at the same time? The outward man here refers not just to my physical nature in the sense of my flesh and bones, but my reason and my senses, also my thinking and my feeling. That outward being is morally and physically corrupt because of sin. And it also is mortal. That is, it shall die. It wills chiefly to satisfy its needs and its desires and its emotions. And as things run, it satisfies them often in ways that are contrary to God's will. It's destined to decay and to return to the basic elements from which it was grown. The inward man is my spiritual being, soul or spirit, and my innermost being. In there I look to a life without end, a life without corruption, a life without sin, simply because that is what my Lord has promised me. In this part of my being, I have been restored to my relationship with God through baptism and faith. There, God has made me his own child, and he daily renews me by his grace. As the Apostle Paul writes, "He who has begun the good work in you will perfect it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this simply describes that reality of the Christian life, which we are getting to know quite well, I hope, as simul justus et peccator, at the same time saint and sinner. That paradox addresses the contrast between the outward man and the inward man in the child of God. And it speaks of them as two persons in one being. As sinful flesh, yet as justified holy saints in God's sight, we carry with us both joy and sorrow. We joy in the knowledge that we have been made one with God's Son, our Savior, and that God sees us in the same way that he sees his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. We joy in the peace and in the comfort that we have through his loving forgiveness. And yet in this inward man, the saint that he has made me to be, I also know of my own outward man, my flesh, my desires, my attraction to those things that are opposed to his grace and truth. In other words, my sinful nature. And this causes me great sorrow, because I know that it sorrows my Savior and my God. So as a saint, justified by God, I live under the gospel, under the word of his grace, the proclamation of forgiveness. And as a sinner, I live under that condemning law. The second paradox is this. St. Paul calls this reality of the Christian life the weight, that is, in the sense of burden, the weight of glory. And he calls it a light affliction. Now, that would be a pretty hard sell for us, being asked to believe that the sorrowing consciences and the other tribulations and sorrows and afflictions that we face in life are light. They sure don't seem that way to me. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, that we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, a part of the burden of this hope, the weight of glory, is that we know that our body, the outward man, will be redeemed, but not yet. And so St. Paul writes, and so is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. And this also is a cross that Christians bear in this life, which Paul describes as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. The weight of glory, the burden of the cross, seeing our sinfulness, our mortality, and yet by faith, trusting in our Lord's promise, seeing our sinfulness and our sorrowing over it, and yet rejoicing in the redemption of the inner man won for us by him, and in faith looking forward to the resurrection of our bodies from death. We know Paul's saying, all things work together for those who love God. And he expresses the same thing here when he says that our light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Granted, the afflictions we suffer in this life do not seem so light to us in their own time, but when seen in the light of the great glory of eternal life with him, that glory so far outweighs the afflictions that, as heavy as they may have been, they do become light. And so our Lord promises us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. We join this morning in Luther's morning prayer found on page 167. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me.